141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hello and welcome to Super Scoreboard Sunday. Celtic move level on points with Hearts after a 2-1 win against 10-man Hibs at Easter Road. The battle at the bottom takes another twist with Kilmarnock leapfrogging St Mirren and Livingston's relegation being confirmed. And that's all before a huge match tomorrow in the title race at Tynecastle between Hearts and Rangers. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Killian Sheridan and David Friel. We've seen plenty of action so far this weekend. And it's not over, David.
It certainly is not over. Celtic went first. Andrew, as you said, they got the job done. Kelechi Iheanacho, the main man again, off the bench. He doesn't start many games, but he certainly finishes them. Showed a lot of composure for the goal, and what a good goal, or what a huge goal it could be.
Yeah, how big a 3 points was that for Celtic today, Killian?
Yeah, it was massive. I think first and foremost, it was about getting the 3 points. I thought there was a chance maybe they could improve their goal difference and kind of kick on in the game once Hibs went down to 10 men. But yeah, first and foremost, they got 3 points. They've kept the pressure on Hearts on already what was a big game. Tomorrow evening now becomes much bigger.
Yeah, it puts the pressure on Rangers and Hearts, doesn't it, ahead of tomorrow?
Yeah, because, you know, we're in must-win territory for every club. Basically, all three that are in this title race have to go and win their games. Martin Neil was asked about that after the game. I don't think he really knows what Celtic want now, but I think for Hearts and for Rangers, Hearts especially, I mean, Hearts can essentially kill off Rangers' title chances tomorrow. As for Rangers, they need to win. They need to try and get themselves back into it. No margin for error for both teams. It's going to be a classic.
And there was loads happening at the bottom yesterday as well. We now know that Livingston are going to be a championship team next season. But not only that, a bit of a change in 11th place. Kilmarnock leapfrogging St Mirren. I suspect there'll be some happy Kilmarnock fans and some not so happy St Mirren's fans.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Livingston, it was a matter of time. Although there has been a big improvement, I think, since Marvin Barley went in there, seemed to be much tougher to beat. So, if anything, they go down with a little bit of positivity in how they've ended the season. But in terms of Kilmarnock, I did fancy them that they would get out of there and leapfrog St Mirren eventually. They have now, and I think they probably deserved a win yesterday. St Mirren, I think, deserved their defeat, having seen a bit of the Dundee game. And I said a week or two ago that I think St Mirren will finish in that 11th place.
Yeah, there was a conclusion to the lower leagues yesterday as well, the playoffs to come. So any thoughts on anything? 0141 951 1025 in particular. Celtic fans, what did you make of that performance today? How happy are you with the 3 points? A bit of controversy as well about that Hibs goal. Maybe you want to get into that. I'm sure a few of you will indeed. We will get on to that. What about that massive game tomorrow as well? This is probably the final chance really to build up to it between Hearts and Rangers at Tynecastle. So I want to hear from fans of both clubs. Who should start? Who shouldn't play? How confident are you? Is it win or bust for you, Rangers fans? Is it as simple as that? Hearts fans, what needs to happen now that Celtic got their win today? And Celtic fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on that game. What is the ideal result for you between Hearts and Rangers tomorrow? Kilmarnock and St Mirren fans, I want to hear your thoughts on the fact that 11th place has changed over the past day or so, and something a bit different for the final hour of the show today as well. We're doing something a bit special because today, the 3rd of May, is the 40-year anniversary of some final day action. Maybe to whet your appetite for the type of thing that may or may not happen this season. Celtic winning the title on the final day in 1986. Hearts were in there as well. It was Albert Kidd who was the heartbreaker for Hearts, scoring the goals for Dundee. There's going to be an hour long special of Hugh Keevans looking back, some great interviews in there, some great footage, some of the old archive audio as well. So tune into that from 6 o'clock. But before that, we will take your calls 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We will get to the phones very, very shortly. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill, shall we, though? This audio coming in from his post-match press conference not too long ago. First of all, he just says he's delighted to get over the line.
Overall, delighted to have won, and just a nervy ending in a game that probably, I think maybe we might have been our own worst enemies. We had to win today, really as simple as that.
Yeah, it was a game that maybe followed a pattern we've seen quite often from Celtic this season, especially in the last few weeks, where Celtic weren't at their best, flowing best that we've seen at times, but maybe not as much as Martin O'Neill would want to see. But Celtic get over the line.
Yeah, they did. I mean, there was a lot of chances, sorry, a lot of attempts on goal, I think 27 or something in total. And obviously the sending off changes the flow of the game. You know, Hibs had to play with 10 men for 70 minutes. Jamie McGrath, just a moment of madness. I don't know what he was thinking. Andrew, Celtic had so much of the ball, you just wondered, could they go and break Hibs down? As Killian said, I actually felt at that stage, when they have such an advantage for so long in the game, this would have been a chance to go and score a few goals. And because Celtic still are trailing Hearts and Rangers in that department, it never really came off. But the longer the game was going on, I did feel Celtic would get that one chance that they needed, and Ian Acho was the perfect man for it to fall to. He actually shows a lot of composure. You know, he's got a lot of time to think about it, but he doesn't snatch at it. He lets it come down, and a really composed finish from the set piece. I did think they would have enough to get over the line. But yeah, I think Martin O'Neill, looking back at the game, will just feel, could they have got a few more goals?
Yeah, I mean, Celtic kind of had to get over the line after Hibs went down to 10 men so early. There have been a lot of calls from Celtic supporters wanting Kelechi Iheanacho to start. Didn't start again today, but played a crucial role in getting Celtic those 3 points.
Yeah, he was massive again. He showed his, like we keep talking about it, every time he comes on and scores goals, you can see the composure he has when balls kind of drop to him, and he's not just lashing at them. He had the composure today to just, I think he just side-footed it in with it 2 or 3 minutes, I think, of coming on. So he's coming on, he's having instant impacts. But I have to say, I can see now why he's not starting, where he still doesn't look fit. No. Like, there's times when near the end of the game where Celtic are under a little bit of pressure, you just want them to be there to kind of anticipate it, be in front of the defenders. Hibs are then allowing themselves to get in front of him and start attacks when he just needed to get his body in front, just a little bit more like impetus on him to run more, just to have that little bit of match sharpness, which I don't understand how he doesn't have it.
No, I think there were some lazy moments from him, let's be honest with you. I mean, there was times when Celtic, as you're saying, Killian, were just trying to keep the ball, trying to get an out ball, and he was caught in his heels and he was letting the Hibs players get in front of them. And I think that you could see why he's become an impact sub, and Celtic have kind of almost going to a formula where Daizen Maeda plays 60-70 minutes through the middle, then they'll switch a winger and Iheanacho will come on. But I can fully understand why Martin O'Neill doesn't start him in games. He is probably still the best all-round striker in terms of finishing all that sort of stuff, but you need more, especially in certain points of games. I mean, against Rangers next week for Celtic, there's not a chance he'll start. He will finish a game, but there's not a chance he'll start because Celtic needs something different in that number 9.
01419511025. Let's kick things off with Michael, who is a Celtic fan in Blackwood. Michael, are you happy with those 3 points?
Well, good evening, David, Andrew and Kelly. To start with, thanks for taking my call. I'm delighted with the 3 points, but oh my goodness, the Hibs goal. Surely to goodness, that's a handball. I hit his arm twice. At the end of the day, it didn't matter. But at the time, you're saying, even the boy that scored it, Joe, would you call him? He turned away kind of laughing or smiling. He knew he'd get away with it. That's 100% a handball all the time. That's my point. What do you think, Paddle?
Yeah, I was wondering how quickly it would take for us to get onto this, because as soon as it happened, I was watching the game at home, as soon as it happened, my phone was just going of people sending their opinions on it. We'll hear what Martin O'Neill had to say on it shortly. What did you make of it, David?
I have no idea why he ghosted. I generally have no idea. I know that the official line is that it was inconclusive where the ball touched Joe Newell's arm. I don't think it's inconclusive at all. I think it clearly touches his arm. I was surprised when it came up that it was going to be a VAR check. I just thought it was an open and shut case. I just thought the goal would be disallowed. I was stunned, absolutely stunned, when it wasn't. And I know Martin O'Neill didn't make too much of it after the game, but if that had been a defining decision, I think you could have kept his phone lines open for hours. Andrew, I'm still really, really surprised that the goal wasn't ruled out.
Yeah, because the rule is, as we've been over plenty of times before, if the ball hits essentially the goal scorer on the arm, whether it is deliberate or not, and then ends up directly leading to a goal, the goal should not stand. And for you, Killian, is it as simple as David thinks? Does it just hit Jamie McGrath's arm? Joe Newell's arm and fall to him, then he scores?
Yeah, I think we can see it. I think, like Michael's saying, Joe Newell's reaction kind of is always telling. I know a VAR decision isn't going to be judged on a player's reaction, but for us talking afterwards, I think it kind of backs up the case. Sinisalo's in a great position. He claims for it straight away. And I just think the argument around saying it's inconclusive, because in one of them you can't see if it really touches his hand. But I feel like in two of the angles, it looks conclusive that, yeah, it does. It has touched his
hand. It hits him twice, quite high up, and then seems to go down and maybe touches him on the forearm or the wrist.
I think it hits him kind of on that, like, that T-shirt line that, yeah, is technically not a handball, but then it comes in and hits his forearm. And I don't think there would have been too much controversy or complaints if people are like, yeah, I can see why it was disallowed.
Andrew, I would imagine 99% of people watching that game, no matter their persuasion, felt that goal was going to get ruled out. I'm still surprised. I mean, we will get a more lengthy explanation, but it comes down to the fact that the VAR officials believed it was inconclusive. I would say it wasn't.
Yeah, Michael, that is the sort of official line from the Scottish FA, that there was insufficient evidence of a handball to overturn the on-field decision. Do you see that side of it at all, or are you just completely baffled?
They must have been drunk, that's what I can say. No, it's, to me, there's 100%. I'm going to say that as a Celtic fan, if it had been anybody else, they'd have said the same. How they can come to say that it's inconclusive, it beats me. It's just, see, I'm not a big fan of VAR anyway, you know what I mean? But that's just, come on. No, just once, but twice. And the guy's reaction, that just supplemented my argument. It's not a goal. Absolutely not a goal. That's my point.
Because people can have their gripes over whether they like that law or not, whether, you know, goal should or shouldn't stand if it just brushes the arm and doesn't have too much of an impact on thing. But that is the law. And when you watch it, you almost kind of see Joe Newell's arm kind of move, yeah, once the ball hits it. It almost looks as if the ball hits his wrist and then even causes his arm to move, yeah, backwards.
Exactly. Look, it's accidental. I don't think he's doing it on purpose to gain an advantage, but the rule is the rule that if it hits your hand and then you score, then the goal is disallowed. And that's why it comes back to everything in terms of looking at different angles. As Killian said, there is one angle where you think, well did it, but then there's probably another two at least where you think, well, it definitely did. So I'm really surprised that in the VAR control room they came to that decision, but that was the one they did. I think in terms of VAR today, I think you probably saw the best and the worst of it, because bear in mind that David Dickinson gave a yellow card for Jamie McGrath's tackle that was then upgraded to a red, and also Daisy Maeda's goal was ruled offside and that got upgraded to a goal. So, you know, in terms of VAR, we did see the best and worst of it today.
Michael, how big is that 3 points, especially with Rangers and Hearts playing each other tomorrow?
Oh, massive. That'd be one of them, as simple as that. You know, I mean, it's some end to the season, you know what I mean? It is. It's a tremendous end. Yeah, I remember the 40 years ago when I was in my 32 at the time or something, when that thing with Albert Kidd, and it could all happen again this year, you know, our very last game and all the rest of it. I know, it was massive. The 3 points had to be got. Tomorrow night, this is, it's Rangers and Hearts now, and, you know, that could go anyway. Personally, I think it'll be a draw, one each, but it's not to say it will be, but The tension mounts. It's incredible, you know what I mean?
Well, thank you to Michael. We're going to speak to Peter on the line, but before that, let's hear what Martin O'Neill had to say on that handball.
I think Gavin thought that he thought it was pretty contentious, the equalising goal. He thought that that was the case. Naturally, I'm pretty biased now, without even saying it, of course, I agree with him. But it is what it is. Whatever they're going, whatever VAR is going to come up with, it's going to happen. And it worked for us in one aspect. It didn't work the other way. And I suppose I would have probably, the truth is, I probably would have a different opinion and different answer to you had we lost the game. Way back when it was introduced for the World Cup in 2018, I thought it was a really good thing. Even now, what, 6 or 7 years on, I really don't know. I genuinely don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. What I think it has done is it stopped referees from refereeing properly, I think, you know, in the game.
Peter is a Celtic fan in Cathcart. Peter, what are you thinking this evening?
Good evening, guys, or good afternoon, guys. Anyway, so what I'm phoning up for the decisions against Celtic Football Club. Also includes a good few Celtic fans. You don't think they're good this season. Celtic are actually 3 games away from winning 5 in a trot. But see the decision that's been spoken about earlier on about that handball. Of course that was a handball. But let me take you back to the 22nd of February. Trusty got a 3-game ban after that game, so he did. for slapping down somebody who was trying to impose him in the penalty box. So he was, you know, they can see things like that. Also, Scales was pulled back in that game on the 22nd of February. These things add up, so they do. But it's always against Celtic, I seem, that these decisions go against. And also, when I was watching it on, the boys are watching it on Sky Television, the commentator says, oh, there's even Hibernian fans celebrating Celtic's goal. That wasn't. Easter Road was empty today, and it allowed Celtic fans to get tickets for the away end. It was Celtic fans that were cheering the goals. So it is. But, I mean, that David Dickinson, that's not the first time he's been against Celtic, you know, it is. I don't know who the next referee is going to be for the game next Sunday. Every game's a title decider, and it was a title decider when they lost to Hibernian as well on the 22nd of February. But then these things ever going to get solved. Thank you.
That's kind of, it's going to be so fraught over the next few weeks that every decision is going to be scrutinised, and Peter's looking back at something that happened a few months ago. But I reckon there'll be Rangers fans sitting shouting at the radio saying, what about these decisions that went against my team? And Hearts fans will be saying, what about these decisions that went against my team? Fans only tend to really remember the ones that go against their own club, whereas, you know, Peter feels hard done by today, and I think a lot of people will agree with him that, you know, that Hibs goal shouldn't have stood. But I think when it comes down to a title race, people will just sort of cherry pick the ones that go against their own team just to make it seem, yeah, I don't know, like they're the ones that are hard done by.
I was at the Falkirk Motherwell game yesterday, and Jens Bertolascu was again scathing of the referee in his own very subtle way. But I think Falkirk this season Motherwell against Falkirk have had two really poor VAR decisions in games go against them. But yeah, in terms of today, look, I think everybody's pretty much in agreement that Hibs goal shouldn't have stood. To get back to the Trusty one, I actually think even Martin O'Neill at that stage wasn't overly happy with Austin Trusty. I get the frustration from that game, and especially Liam Scales. I think Willie Collum did come back to that game and say that Celtic probably should have had a penalty, but you could probably get fans, you can certainly get fans from every single club who could come on here and give you a list of wrong decisions this season.
Peter, what has today's result, the fact that Hearts and Rangers play against each other tomorrow, what does that do for your belief that Celtic can, will win this title?
Well, I mean, why do we get that? The Scottish football's not second to anybody. Scottish football's the best for me. So it is. And that includes Hearts. Hearts are Midlothian. Everybody's writing Hearts off. Hearts are still in me a chance. But see, tomorrow's game, you're saying chances, decisions go against Falkirk, against Motherwell, against all these teams in the Premiership and everywhere else. But why? Why is it happening? See, if I was in my work and I made a bad mistake, I'd be cautioned for that. These things seem to just go, oh, everybody gets it, But why is everybody getting decisions against them? I'm a Celtic fan, I just want to know. I just think it's more decisions going against Celtic. Celtic would have beat Hibernian that day, which would have gave us 3 points instead of minus 3 points. Therefore, we'd have been sitting at the top of the league. This is a lot at stake here, so as for these bad decisions.
Once again, I think a lot of fans of other teams will look back at other results and other decisions that they would say have impacted results, and, you know, if that had happened, then they would have had X amount of points. It happens quite a lot. Peter kind of makes the point just generally about the standard of refereeing, which is something that a lot of people will bring up, and is something that everyone just would love to strive to get better, I suppose.
Yeah, I do think there's a fan like Peter at every club. Every club thinks referees are against them, decisions goes against them. Probably the biggest difference is right now Celtic are the team that are, you're watching them every single week live. There's so many cameras, whereas Falkirk Motherwell, a game like that isn't really being spoke about, like decisions wise that go against them. So they don't have the same scrutiny. I just think the standard of refereeing has been poor in general. It's just when you're watching VAR incidents that are video that you can actually see a mistake happen, it should be quite easy to come to the correct decision. I just think, and I think Martin O'Neill mentioned it as well, that referees have kind of stopped refereeing as well, instead of just waiting for a mistake to be overturned rather than make a decision on the field in real time. But even, like, to play devil's advocate, the Trusty incident, I think he got away with one in the the cup final last season, where like if you're nitpicking, you can go a lot. I just kind of hope it doesn't come down to one goal difference winning the league, and then think of what's going to get dug up.
There's a lot of human error, but it's not been a vintage season for the referees at all. I mean, again, you just look at today, you know, two of the big ones were really missed, three if you include the goal. And yeah, I don't think it has been a great season for our referees. I'd agree as well that some referees are not making decisions and just hoping that VAR is there to bail them out, and that is not exactly what it's there for.
Well, thank you to Peter, 0141 951 1025. Keep those calls coming, whether it is on Celtic's win against Hibs, maybe you want to preview that huge one at Tynecastle tomorrow. We'll look back on yesterday's games as well, and get your calls in while I tell you about this. We kicked off Make Me a Winner's Mega May with Jessica, who was shocked to get the winning call. Now there's more chances to win this month. On Wednesday, you could win £250,000. Get in the draw now for your chance to win £250,000 on Wednesday. Text yes to 61025, text or 250, plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll also find the rules for this network competition there, or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18 only, and lines close at 5 o'clock on Wednesday. Just answer your phone and £250,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account right after the call. So enter now, text yes to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel and Killian Sheridan here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're reflecting on Celtic's 2-1 win over Hibs. We've had some calls on that today, some calls on the Hibs goal, which has caused a bit of controversy as well. So any thoughts on that? 0141 951 1025. Actually, it's such a weird thing, I think, that things in football, certain incidents seem to just all happen at once, don't they? I remember being, was it in the studio last, a week ago on, was it maybe 2 weeks ago? And it was when the St Mirren Celtic semi-final, and it was just a weekend of goalkeepers kicking the ball off of attacking players or their own defenders. And then this week, there's been the handball incident with Joe Newell. We've got the Manchester United Liverpool game on. Something very similar has happened where they're slowing down the images to see whether the ball has hit the hand of Benjamin Sesko, to see whether that goal should stand as well.
They've got the binoculars out for that game, Andrew, and I think it's hit his fingernails.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Should have cut his fingernails this morning. Well, it doesn't matter. The goal stood. So, any thoughts on that or anything else? Of course, a huge one at Tynecastle tomorrow. Hearts against Rangers. So, get your thoughts in ahead of that as well. We're going to reflect on what happened yesterday because there was some big results down the bottom of the table. So, 0141 951 1025. Harry is a Celtic fan in Port Glasgow. Harry, what are you thinking this evening?
Well, first of all, it was a handball, so it was never a goal. But here's the thing. I can't see us beating Rangers and Hearts at home. I just don't think we're good enough. I really don't think we're good enough. I mean, Hearts went down to 10 men, and then all of a sudden, I thought it was going to be 3-4-0, and it wasn't. So even the goal that Hearts scored, we were defensively, we were poor. I just can't see us beating Rangers and Hearts at Celtic Park. But
I'll take you on that, Harry, and then we'll move on to your next point, because it is 5 wins in a row for Celtic now. But is it just the performance level that some Celtic fans will be maybe slightly concerned about going into the games against Hearts and Rangers?
Yeah, and I think it's understandable because it hasn't been free-flowing, scintillating football at any stage. You know, when you think Celtic, like today, might have a chance to score a few goals, they don't do it, but they're getting the job done. So I can understand this is not a Celtic team firing all cylinders, Harry. I get it, but they've put themselves in a position with, you know, as you say, Andrew, 5 wins in a row, they've put themselves in a position where they're only 4 games away from doing a double, basically. So I think it'll be really tight next week. I think it would, if it goes to the final day, it'll be very tight as well. But I think Celtic have put themselves in a position, and they have got winners in their team, and they are grinding it out just now. So right now, as things stand, you would not rule them out,
because you could probably be in one of two camps when it comes to Celtic. There'll be some supporters like Harry that are concerned with the performance levels and think that the results will just run out at some point, but there'll be other fans that will say look, that's the sign of champions. If you're not playing well, you still dig out results, you still end up winning. Celtic have won 5 games in a row. What's to say that they won't go and win their final 4 games as well?
Yeah, and I think it's probably more so that argument at this stage of the season. I think at the beginning of a season, you can nitpick and be like, well, okay, it's good and it's one thing to be winning games, but we need to be performing well for like the long term of the season. But at this stage, it's just about winning. Celtic, I don't think it's hard to argue, their performances aren't what we've been used to for the past few seasons, but they've not been given good performances, but they've been good at winning, which is all that matters. And I think probably since the cup game against St Mirren, that kind of like 15-20 minutes where they just blitzed St Mirren, I feel like since then there's been a little bit of a change in them. They seem a little bit more confident in attacking, I've noticed in the last 2 games. Still probably need to get rid of those moments of maybe 15-20 minutes in games where they allow teams to get back into it. But I feel like they're hitting a slightly upturn in form and performances.
Harry, what are the big concerns for you then?
I just don't think we're going to score enough goals. I think Rangers are probably better at scoring goals than we are, and I think Hearts. But anyway, let's hope it goes to the last game of the season. Can I ask one more question? It's not really a question, it's just a wee fact before I go.
Go for it.
Radio Clyde pundit Jim Duffy, he got the players player of the year when Morton got relegated in the early 80s. How good is that?
I have heard that before. I think we've talked about it with Jim before. That is something that you just don't see happen at all anymore, to actually win. I mean, the PFA awards are tonight, so I don't know whether Harry's just bringing it up because of that. But to win Player of the Year as a defender in a team that were relegated is completely unheard of, isn't
it? How bad were the rest of the team?
But Jim was an exceptional footballer, a really cultured defender. And I don't remember the season, Andrew. I'm slightly too young for that, but yeah, very good football and a great achievement back in the day, as you said.
Jim Duffy does feature in that Albert Kidd documentary that you'll be hearing from 6 o'clock. Hugh Keevan speaking to a lot of the key figures on that day, so stay tuned for that at 6 o'clock. But plenty of calls to get in before then. Thank you to Harry. What about Gary, who's a Celtic fan in Govan?
I was quite impressed with the game today. Unfortunately, I wasn't too impressed with the officials. Obviously, I thought there was a clear-cut penalty in the second half, and even the commentators on TV were horrified at it. They said the VAR men should be fired, which I agree with.
But, what incident was that, Gary?
When they booked 2 players.
Oh, yeah, that was Benjamin Negrin was pushed by Josh Campbell, and then I think was Dyson Maeda kicked the ball off of someone and a couple of players got booked and all that. Was that a penalty for you?
Well, I want to put this one to Killian, because why is it in professional football when incidents like that happen, there is very rarely fouls given? You know, I think Josh Campbell or Negrin was trying to get in front of the ball right on the byline, and it was almost getting shielded and then just get shoved. But you never
is that
see
way
a foul
almost
for
as if he's trying to shield the ball out of play and realises that the ball's not going to go out of play before Negrin gets there, so there is a sort of two-handed shove on Negrin.
One of those where, as the attacker like Negrin, you're kind of anticipating that the defender's going to try and usher it out. So if you can manage to like almost fool him where you're going to get around the other side of him, it gives him a decision. I didn't think it was a penalty.
No, you wouldn't have been calling for that if you were the striker.
I don't remember much being said about it in the game.
There was obviously a bit of a bust up
afterwards
as well. Yeah. But it's just one of those ones where, I, again, like Killian, I didn't think it was going to be a penalty, because I just almost think those ones get given for free by the officials. They never ever really tend to get involved, whether it's a defender shielding or the attacker shielding. But yeah, it was a very,
it's
very
a similar
odd
one to when like defenders are in the corner and they're like ushering it out and they get
themselves
a slight
to the ground
touch and they go down. And everyone knows it's usually not a free kick, but it just always gets given.
It was a very strange incident. Mm-hmm. It was.
You don't see it all that often, because Negrin was looking as if he was getting round the other side of him, and it's quite a clear push. And for you, Gary, is that just a clear cut and dry penalty?
Well, the VAR should have stepped in the first place, if that's the case.
They will have looked at it, because they look at all incidents, but they must have just thought there wasn't enough
I think if it was, yeah, if it was clear cut, I think VAR would have intervened. Like the little scuffle afterwards was pretty much over nothing, really. Boy got hit on the arm with the ball or something, or maybe look for a handball.
Would you have been claiming for a penalty in that instant?
I'd claim for a penalty for anything, yeah.
Gary, just on the result, the performance, what does it do for your thoughts on the title race and Celtic's chances of winning?
Oh, it's great. It's great for Celtic, and I hope Rangers win tomorrow, to be honest with you.
Have you ever said that in your life before?
No.
How are you going to be watching that as a Celtic fan, hoping Rangers score? Are you going to find yourself potentially cheering on a Rangers goal tomorrow?
To be honest with you, I just hope they kick lumps. I'll be at Ibrox, so I hope they kick lumps at each other.
It will be an interest. I mean, would the best result for Celtic be a draw between the teams, or like Gary, is it a win for Rangers so that Hearts don't pick up any points?
Well, Celtic are trying to chase Hearts, mm-hmm. so I suppose on the basis of it, you would think that, yeah, you know, Hearts losing would be good for Celtic. I do wonder, with the nature of the three-way fight and everything, that if Celtic can go through a weekend gaining points on both teams, they would probably take that. And it means Rangers would obviously stay that bit behind them as well. But I think no matter what happens tomorrow, if you're looking at it from a Celtic perspective, Celtic need to go and beat Rangers next weekend. Whether it's a home win, away win or draw tomorrow, Celtic have to beat Rangers again next weekend.
Well, Martin O'Neill was asked about tomorrow's game and what result he's looking for. Here's what he had to say.
Behind the couch most of the time, yeah. I was behind the couch for the last 5 minutes there tonight. I genuinely don't know. Maybe a draw. At least people drop points.
Do you go along with that, Killian? Is a draw the best result for Celtic? Or does it really matter? Does Celtic just need to not really worry about what happens tomorrow and just go out and win their own games?
Yeah, I think probably in terms of Celtic going for the title, it has to... is it a draw maybe? A draw kind of rules Rangers out to a degree where any other time maybe you're thinking, if it wasn't Rangers, if it's a different team, Rangers are still going to come no matter what and want to beat mm-hmm. Celtic at Celtic Park. That's not going to change. I think anything other... Rangers are kind of... Fans are probably admitting that anything other than a win for them tomorrow kind of rules them out. But yeah, probably for Rangers to win, Celtic then can kind of have to back themselves. Be like, well, yeah, we'll go and beat Rangers, and then we'll, if it comes down to the last day, we fancy ourselves to go and beat Hearts.
Gary, we saw Daizen Maeda start the game through the middle, scored a goal. We saw Kelechi Iheanacho come on, scored the winner. What does that striking position look like for you for the final three league games of the season and the Scottish Cup final? Does Kelechi Iheanacho have to start? Does Daizen Maeda start and Iheanacho comes off the bench?
I would start with Maeda. I like his energy.
I'm not sure there would have been many Celtic fans that would have said Daizen Maeda should start through the middle up until a couple of weeks ago, really. And he's starting to show more of the form that got him the Player of the Year award last season, when especially in the second half of last season, he was sensational, played through the middle a lot, scored a lot of goals, still has his moments where there was one very early on today where he was played over the top, took one poor touch, one decent touch, and then blasted one way over. But today, gets himself in the six-yard box, is attacking that, is causing Hibs problems. He will cause teams problems. Where do you lie on that debate of who should be starting?
He has to start as a striker. Look, he was out of sorts for probably three quarters of the season. We don't know what happened. Well, we do know what happened last summer, in that he was probably promised a move away from Celtic. It never materialised because of other transfer issues. It clearly affected him. I don't think that's it's wrong to say that. But I think you've seen probably in the last 4 or 5 weeks, he's starting to get into form. I mean, Daizen Maeda went about 16 or 17 goals games without scoring a goal. I think he's now scored in his last three or four. And he just looks far more up for it, far more energetic. He gives Celtic that pressing at the front. And he can also then, for the last 20 minutes or half an hour, whatever, then shift out to the left wing and give Iheanacho a chance. I think Martin O'Neill's biggest dilemma probably going into the Rangers game now is who starts on the wings. It looks like Yang will probably start, Maeda will be through the middle. It's who that other winger is, because Tanetke again, maybe putting one good cross today, but I think he flatters the deceived too much. And it's, you know, does he put a James Forrest back in there, Killian, or something like that? Because I think that's the issue. I don't think he's found the perfect blend in terms of the entire front three.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised for the Rangers game if he brings James Forrest in. I just think with Dyson Maeda, he just has a different energy about him right now. And that, like, that is his game. It's not, his game isn't, like, Iheanacho comes on and you can see the first 15, 20, 10 minutes when he comes on, his touch is just that touch of a number nine, yeah, of a good number nine. He's got a tidy touch in around the box, is calm on the ball, whereas Maeda's a little bit the opposite of that. He needs the space. He needs to, like, at the minute we're kind of praising everything he does is about pressing, mm-hmm, which is, that's not what your yeah, striker is there for pressing at. But he's so good at it that it's actually impacting and is a threat for the team going forward. But yeah, on the wingers, I wouldn't be surprised if James Forrest starts, just for the game that it is experience in it. And added to the fact, I don't think Tonetki has done enough when he's been starting. The only time he puts good crosses in is when he's actually direct and takes on the defender and goes to the byline, uses his left foot. A lot of the other time you're thinking, go, just if that's working, just keep doing it. Instead, he comes in, makes an easy pass inside and kind of kills the attack.
Well, thank you to Gary, 01419511025. Keep your calls coming.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel and Killian Sheridan here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, taking your calls 01419511025. So get in touch. Plenty of discussion about Celtic's 2-1 win over Hibs earlier on. So maybe it is the game, maybe it's some refereeing decisions that you want to talk about. It is that number, 01419511025. We're going to do plenty of preview ahead of Hearts against Rangers at Tynecastle tomorrow. Lots of action yesterday in the top flight and down the divisions. There was also a draw between Livingston and Aberdeen, relegated Livingston and Aberdeen on Friday night. So anything that is on your mind, 01419511025. We're going to speak to Robbie on the line, but let's hear David Gray's thoughts on Hibs' defeat to Celtic first of all.
A lot of deja vu in terms of going down to 10 men again, but it's a definite dangerous tackle, a definite red card, and everything I spoke about all week about giving yourself the best possible chance to win the game. And to do that, you need to keep 11 players on the pitch, and that's when Aberdeen down to 10 men after whatever it was, 16 minutes, 14 minutes in the derby, then down to 9 men, and then today, did we get to 20 minutes? I'm not sure, maybe 19, 20 minutes. I can't defend Jamie's one because that's just, you know, everybody knows, especially in the modern day, if you leave the ground at all and you lunge, you're putting yourself at risks. Now, that's completely out of character for Jamie McGrath. I'm not just directing that at him. But as a group now, you know, as a result of that, we're making subs. As a result of that, you're going down to 10 men. And we can't just accept the fact that that's all right. It's not. We've spoke about it already. But nobody does it on purpose, clearly. But it goes back to what I said at the very start. Like, that's in that moment, it's a lack of discipline, a lack of professionalism because of you taking that chance. And the minute you leave the ground, you take that risk.
Robbie is a Celtic fan in Falkirk. Robbie, what have you got for us?
All right, how's it going, Andrew? Thanks for taking my call. I just want to just say about Iheanacho. I'll make my point to David Friel about Kelechi Iheanacho. I thought, Ken, who he reminds me, David, he reminds me a wee bit of Edouard, sort of Dembele sort of style. And I'm just wondering, this is just what I'm hoping for. I heard you earlier on saying he'll just be substitute appearances, maybe 20, 25 minutes from now until the end of the season. But is there a chance, David, that he could start against Rangers? Now, I think he's better on the part, obviously, what I'm going to say is, speaks for itself, and it's quite obvious. There's better somebody on the park for 70 minutes and 20 minutes. Now, I'm just wondering, is there a chance, David, that he could maybe start against Rangers next week? And number two is...
We'll take that first of all, Robbie, and then I'll let you come back in for your second point. I do wonder, with Kelechi Iheanacho, there's been the whole thing where Martin O'Neill openly came out and said, Kelechi Iheanacho says he's fit. I'm not so sure he is. He was asked about Kelechi Iheanacho about just over a week ago, and he said he is fit enough to start games, but he's still not starting matches. I wonder if he was going to start matches between now and the end of the season, whether he would have just done it by now.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got the dilemma, Robbie, basically Martin O'Neill, of does he give him an hour or does he give him the final half hour, 20 minutes? And I think he's just decided that Celtic are a better team right now to start games with Dyson Maeda as the number 9 against Rangers. And I think you saw the impact. I can't remember if it was a cup game or the league game when Dyson Maeda went through the middle against Rangers. I think he really terrified the Rangers back line and will do with his pace. I can't see a Celtic team next Sunday without him playing as number 9. as I said to Killian earlier on, I'm curious as to who the two wingers are. And there's no doubt to me that Kelechi Iheanacho will play a big part in the game against Rangers. But I just can't see him starting. I just don't.
Does, you know, will there be anything in the fact that Martin O'Neill might think Kelechi Iheanacho works better coming off the bench when he's maybe coming up against more tired legs or teams that are more open and he could be more effective?
It is easier to start a game than coming into one. I know I spoke about him earlier saying how he did look, his fitness didn't look up to it. But there, it is difficult sometimes. It's hard to describe. Like, you can come on in games and feel more tired if you're only coming on and playing like 15 minutes rather than you could start a game and at 75 minutes you'll feel sharper and fitter than you would as a sub coming on for 15 minutes. And just like the pace of the game, adapting to it, everything. I wouldn't be surprised if he does start. I think he might just, Martin O'Neill might take the gamble of, let's go for the first 60 minutes, play my best team, play Iheanacho up front, Maeda on the wing, and just try and win the game in that 60 minutes. I wouldn't mind if he started him. I think he's professional enough. I think, I know he should know his body at this stage if he's kind of needs to rein it in a little bit, but he's probably the biggest thing is that he doesn't get injured.
What was your next point, Robbie?
I'll move on to the ticket situation, Andrew. I'm absolutely see this season with Green Brigade getting banned and all that stuff that's happened. Where you can get your tickets but you'll not get the union as long as the union bears don't get in. I'm absolutely, I don't know about you guys, but I'm sick fed up with all the stuff that's been happening this season. With all the stuff that happened at Ibrox and that game, everybody coming on to the park and all the Rangers union bears running through the Copeland Road, looking for a bit of bother and all that stuff that happened with the Celtic, with the graffiti and all that, the idols and proxies and all that. I'm sick fed up with this. Now, David, I'm really worried about, after all that happened, I had it in my mind that Rangers should get their allocation with the Nets up. This has been going since the start of the last season. No, start of this season, the start of the previous season. Just under 2,500. Now, there's been journalists talking about this, David, quite rightly so, because they're only giving their opinion that it's going to go back down to Nets fans. I think that's just, I fear that, it's only fair that Rangers fans should get into at Celtic Park and vice versa. And they had it all sorted out that the Nets fans, that was absolutely useless. Nets fans that allowed them to stay their team for this third game. Then it went to 700 over the last, whatever it was, 4 or 5 years. Now, they sorted it out with the Nets up and that, and it's been going great. Just under 2,500, David. And I think going forward, that they shouldn't play tit for tat with all this. I think that allocation is right with the Nets up and get it placed in the area, enough police that maybe is going to come onto the park and all that, David. I just think moving forward, some journalists are coming out with, it's going to go back to Nets fans. I just fear that, and I think that's ridiculous. What do you think, David?
We spoke about it on the show yesterday, and I must admit, I'm one of the ones that fear the direction of travel is going to be that. Robbie, I think it could easily go back down to no away fans at these fixtures. I agree. I think, after the years of the tit for tat, the smaller allocations and the complete lockout, it was good to see that there was like 2,000 at each stadium for these games. I do fear what happened in the Scottish Cup tie and everything since. And I know Rangers' statement yesterday when they said they would accept the fans, the allocation, but they weren't happy with the conditions and that it could have lasting consequences. I don't know. I just feel that everybody probably has to get round a table at some point, and that's both clubs, that's the authorities, the police and everything, and try and find some sort of common ground. But I do wonder where that's going to be possible, I must admit.
Well, thank you to Robbie. What about Martin, who's a Celtic fan in Coatbridge? Martin, how are you?
I'm sound, Andrew. How are you, pal? Okay.
Good, thank you.
Hi, Killian and David. How are you?
Hi, Martin. How's things?
Good, Martin.
So, guys, I can't believe I'm saying this right. I mean, I'm at night. So, first of all, man, I'm absolutely stressed. I've hardly done anything for the day. Right? I'm going to take the dog out, right? I've been watching my team today, right? And they put you through the mire, honestly, man. Right? I didn't think they played great at all. You know what I mean? I don't get loads of confidence in them. But every week, I'm absolutely just mentally shattered. Right? But my point was, guys, right, I've been thinking about all the permutations and all the rest of it. And I kind of agree with David was saying there. I would rather Rangers win tomorrow. I've never won to Rangers that win a friendly, by the way. Right, nothing. Right, I'd rather Rangers no juice win tomorrow. I'd rather Rangers win about 5-0 tomorrow against Hearts. So the goal difference between Celtic and Hearts will be the same, and we'll be a point ahead against Rangers. And I'll take my chances. You know what I mean? I think the Celtic being at home against Rangers and Hearts, you know what I mean, it's going to be like a European Nights type of thing. It's going to be hostile, guys. No, so I'll kind of bet my chances. I do think Celtic will drop points tomorrow, by the way. Right. So that's another thing.
This sums up how mad this season has been. Imagine at the start of the season, someone would tell you, oh, by the way, see on the 3rd of May, a Celtic fan's going to phone in and say that they want Rangers to win 5-0.
Well, see if you actually look at the goal difference, Martin, and when you're cheering in the 4th Rangers goal tomorrow, if Rangers win by 4 goals tomorrow, Celtic will actually jump up to top of the league because they've scored more goals than Hearts.
It's just that, it just sums up... There's just been so many things this season that you would not have been able to predict in a million years. And a Celtic fan coming on saying that he's going to gladly cheer Rangers on to potentially a 5-0 victory against Hearts tomorrow. That is one of the last things I thought I would ever hear on this show.
Yeah, I don't know about 5-0, because then that boosts Rangers' goal differences. They go and win 5-0, they feel like they're back in it. And yeah, but they have the goal difference.
I know, but I do understand the logic in terms of Martin, because Celtic are trying to chase Hearts. Hearts are the ones right now. Rangers are obviously behind. But regardless what happens, that's what I said. If Rangers win tomorrow and then Celtic beat Rangers, that's great for Celtic.
Yeah.
Hearts just need to keep winning. Rangers obviously need snookers. But they'll be right back in it if they can beat Hearts tomorrow.
When you strip it down to just like a football table, taking away who's who and the whole rivalries and everything, then, if you're watching, you're thinking, well, yeah, Celtic will want Rangers to beat the team that's above them. I think my recommendation for Martin would be to help with the stress, not to think about all the permutations.
You're going to have the shirt and the scarf on tomorrow, Martin?
Oh, no, I don't know about that. That's getting a bit too far, isn't it?
I was just testing how far Martin wanted to go there. We'll have to leave that there. Thank you to Martin, though, Celtic fan who is cheering on Rangers to a victory against Hearts tomorrow. You heard that correctly. Maybe you've got some thoughts on that. 01419511025. Maybe you've got some thoughts on the game itself tomorrow as a Hearts or a Rangers fan. We're going to reflect on some of yesterday's action as well. More to come from that Hibs game against Celtic. And from 6 o'clock, we are going to be bringing you Albert Kidd, the heartbreak season. Something a bit special, something a bit different on Super Scoreboard Sunday, because today, the 3rd of May, marks 40 years since Celtic's league title win in 1986 when they beat Hearts to the trophy only on goal difference on the final day of the season. Hugh Keevans from 6 o'clock straight after our show. He's going to revisit the events of Love Street, Dens Park, which changed the course of the title. He's joined by players from Celtic, Hearts, Dundee as well, as an exclusive interview from the man himself, Dundee's goal scorer Albert Kidd. Will be hearing the action as the goals went in with our archive commentary from the day as well. You do not want to miss it, so make sure you tune in for that from 6 o'clock. But plenty to get through on the phones before that, and we're going to play this as well.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, at the slightly earlier time than normal on a Sunday, so maybe we've caught David Friel or Killian Sheridan on the hop. Maybe they're going to feel a bit rusty, but we'll give you a bit of time to get prepared. We'll give you 3 minutes or so to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025 is the number if you want to play Beat the Pundit. Get your calls in right now.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
One hour of calls to go on Clyde One Super Scoreboard this Sunday. Normally, we're taking calls all the way through until 7 o'clock. But for the final hour of today's show, Hugh Keevans is going to be bringing you Albert Kidd, the heartbreak season, because it is the 40-year anniversary of some title last-day drama between Celtic and Hearts. So if you want to listen to that, a lot of good interviews in there, some of the archive footage, you can listen to that from 6 o'clock. Between 6 and 7, so that is some good stuff you can listen to then. But before then, you can get your calls in 0141 951 1025. A lot of drama has taken place already this weekend. More to come tomorrow night between Hearts and Rangers at Tynecastle. We'll put a bit of focus on that after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Hugh Keevans played last on Friday, and part of his punishment for cheating the week prior, he was on minus one and he lost. So the punishment went to plan. I think last time you played was Wednesday, and Roger Hanna was messaging in saying that you need to be put on minus one, not as a punishment, just because you're on a 100% record.
Yeah, but this is ridiculous. Marvin Bartley, I think, it was 15 unbeaten. I'm nowhere near that, Andrew. It's far too premature to be talking about minus one.
How have you got
on recently? Victim of your own success.
Exactly, Kelly.
How have you got on recently?
Recently, I scraped by my last one, and then got told I got done out of a victory 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm. So you're looking for some redemption now?
I'd prefer my record changed.
Okay, right.
To one defeat.
We'll look into that, shall we? Stephen is in Knightswood. Stephen, have you played before?
Yes, I've played before.
How did you get on?
I lost the head of it, and I lost to Mark Wilson like a few years ago.
Right, so you're back to try and improve your record.
Redemption.
Who would you rather face out of David Freeland, Killian Sheridan?
Killian.
Thought you might say that just based on the conversation we had. It will be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Killian Sheridan. It will be the red side of the Beat the Pundit coin for David Freel. And it is the blue side of the Pundit Beat the Pundit coin, easy for me to say, for Killian Sheridan. So we will put something else in the ear of Killian Sheridan so he cannot hear us. And it is 30 seconds on the clock for you, Stephen, to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out for time as well. Is that all good?
Yeah, that's all good.
No okay, worries. Let's go. Who won the Scottish League 2 title yesterday?
Eastbourne.
Who scored for Rangers the last time they played Hearts at Tynecastle?
Chimney.
How many red cards have Hibs gotten in the last 3 games?
2.
At what stadium would you find the Nordan East Stand?
Pass.
Who was the last club Mark McGee managed?
Motherwell.
Who scored the only goal in the Falkirk v Motherwell game yesterday?
Pass.
Who wears the number 12 for Celtic?
Pass.
What nationality is Hearts player Rogers Matto?
Pass.
Right, we will bring Killian Sheridan back in. Killian, can you hear us?
Yep.
30 seconds on the clock for Killian Sheridan. Let's go. Who won the Scottish League 2 title yesterday?
East Kilbride.
Who scored for Rangers the last time they played Hearts at Tynecastle?
Shermeathy.
How many red cards have Hibs gotten in the last 3 games?
4.
At what stadium would you find the Nordan East Stand?
Wraith.
Who was the last club Mark McGee managed?
Dundee.
Who scored the only goal in the Falkirk v Motherwell game yesterday?
Cartwright.
Who wears the number 12 for Celtic?
Pass.
Okay. How do you think that went, Stephen?
Oh, it's terrible. It was probably worse than last game.
How do you think you got on?
I think I've done all right. We'll few weird answers, but
we'll go through them and see how you did. Who won the Scottish League 2 title yesterday? East Kilbride is the answer. You both got it, so a good start for both of you. One all. Who scored for Rangers the last time they played Hearts at Tynecastle? I don't know whether you both knew it or whether you just took the educated guess that would be Yusuf Chermiti scoring against Hearts, which was the correct answer. Two all. A very good start for both of you. How many red cards have Hibs gotten in the last 3 games? The answer is 4. Killian Sheridan got it. Stephen immediately said 2. And then panicked and tried to change his answer, but he can't change his answer. And it goes 3-2 to Killian Sheridan. Now, what happened here for Stephen was that he went for what we like to call the tiki-taka approach to Beat the Pundit, which is pass, 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 pass. I think you were just trying to get to a question that you knew the answer to, Stephen, and it didn't quite come, is that right?
I think they were just getting hard with each question.
Yeah. At what stadium would you find the Nordan East Stand? Neither of you got this. Do you know this, David Friel?
I think I do.
I'm sure it is written in big letters on the seats, in black seats, written on top of yellow seats at Livingston Stadium. I'm sure it has a big Nordan Stand. Neither of you got it. Remains 3-2 to Killian Sheridan. Who was the last club Mark McGee managed? Stephen went for Motherwell. Killian went for Dundee. It is Dundee. It goes 4-2 to Killian Sheridan, who scored the only goal in the Falkirk Motherwell game yesterday. You said Henry Cartwright. You got it correct. Stephen went for pass, so doesn't get a point on that one. Who wears the number 12 for Celtic? I think you both passed this one. You know this one, David?
I still can't think of it.
No, I've got a mind blank here.
Voyami Sinisalo wears it. So neither of you got it. That was the end of the road for Stephen. And you got one more question in, just decided to pass on what nationality Rogers Mato was. Oh, no, sorry, no. Stephen got onto that one.
I tried to pass last one, hoping I'd get the last question.
And just ran out of time. Stephen passed and got on to what nationality is Hearts player Rogers Mato, who really hasn't seen a lot of action. There was a big fanfare about Hearts trying to get him in before the deadline and his club not wanting to let him go. I think his club was in North Macedonia. Yeah. Was it Vardar was the club he was joining from? He is from Uganda, the lesser spotted Rogers Mato. So it finishes 5-2 to Killian Sheridan. Unlucky, Stephen.
Well put, Darren.
Stephen, who's your team?
Rangers.
Rangers fan, how are you feeling heading into that game tomorrow?
I don't know, I'm a bit worried.
Yeah, what's got you concerned? Just the game last weekend?
I think it's a bit about the game last weekend as well as just Rangers when it comes right down to fixtures that matter. I feel like they always, like...
Oh, I think he is gone. I don't know whether it just all got a bit much for Stephen there after losing Beat the Pundit, but I think Stephen's general point was it was maybe more mentality than quality he was concerned about, which questions get pointed at Rangers quite often. It's not the first season that questions of mentality, and after the defeat to Motherwell last weekend, more fingers have been pointed in that direction. And once again, huge game tomorrow, and it'll be a massive mental test.
Yeah, and it's understandable after what happened last week. I saw a few Rangers fans actually talking about how Motherwell then lose to Falkirk the week after and how that makes their result even worse. I think that's probably unfair because Motherwell have been so good and Motherwell were so good at Ibrox. But yeah, the mentality question does get thrown up. I think it's a huge day for Rangers players, team, but also a big day for Danny Rowe, because he has done well to get Rangers back in this title race. But if they do stumble again, then there's going to be questions asked. And I think with the money that's been spent both last summer and in January, because you need to remember Rangers did spend a fair whack in January as well, then they need to go and deliver a big performance tomorrow.
Sean is a Rangers fan in Garthamlock. Sean, how are you feeling about it?
Well, can I just say something? I wish Alex Ferguson all the best and hopefully he'll be all right.
Yeah, did see that news. Actually, one sec, I'll let you back in a second. Sean, did see that news just shortly before we came on air that I think Sir Alex Ferguson had been in attendance at the Manchester United-Liverpool game, was taken to hospital. Hopefully, as Sean says, everything is okay and he's taken well care of. I'll let you back in, Sean. What was your point you wanted to make in the game?
My second point is it's basically dynamo. If Rangers lose to Hearts tomorrow, it's probably 1% they're going to win the league. And then if we drop points against Celtic, this is how crazy this league is. If Rangers lose the next two games, Danny Rowe will not be there next season. But and then Danny Rowe wins tomorrow and beats Celtic, he's probably got to go in and win the league. It's mad. I don't.
Do you think it's as big as that, Sean? Do you think Danny Rowe's job is on the line if Rangers either don't win the league or finish third this season?
Yes.
You don't think that the Rangers board would be giving him the chance in the summer to, you know, bring in more players, have another crack at it based on, you know, him getting Rangers back into contention? You just feel what's happened in the last few weeks, and if Rangers didn't go on to win it, that would be enough for another manager to come in.
I don't think the 49ers will give him that chance. The only way they'd maybe give him the chance, if he comes in and says at the end of the season, we'll give Danny Rowe the Champions League qualifier. But owners, I've never heard a football club say, you've got two games to save your job.
Well, so he wouldn't get the Champions League qualifiers if Rangers finished third. They would be in the Conference League qualifiers. Danny Rowe is obviously trying to fight for a league title. Is he fighting for his job as well? Is it too early for talk of that? Do you think the Rangers board will generally be happy with the progress he's made in getting Rangers back into the title race, or does his job hinge on what happens at the end of this season?
Potentially, yeah. I think when you're at clubs like Rangers and Celtic, it's one thing to, like, he's done well to come in, steady the ship, got Rangers back into a position to challenge. But then once you're in that position to go and take it a step further and take control of the league or capitalise on what you've built. Everything you've done before, that kind of, that's forgotten about. That's like, it's kind of like, well done, thanks for that. But now let's, now it's like the business time. This is why you're at these clubs. And I think, like, to be fair to Sean, he is aware of the madness that it all is. That, like, if he wins two games, he has them right back in a title. If he loses them, he's potentially looking at maybe losing his job. I think a lot would depend on if there's a candidate out there that Rangers can go and get that they just can't say no to. It's like, right, this is the guy for us. But if not, I don't think they're not currently in a position where they were at the start of the season, where they're having to replace Russell Martin, where it got to the stage where this has to change. I don't think it's at that stage yet, but there is certainly pressure on him, I think, to now deliver and try and, well, he needs to get them back into the title race.
I don't think his job is under danger. I don't think when Danny Rowe came in as Rangers manager, he was given the mandate, you must win the league. I think what he was told was, sort the mess out that had been left by Russell Martin, get Rangers into a position where they can challenge again. And I think he has done that. Now, that's not to say it's been perfect. And I think there has been some damaging results along the way. You know, there's been some away results, but I look back to that game when Rangers were 2-0 up against Celtic in the league. Celtic come back and draw two each. He's obviously lost a League Cup semi-final to Celtic. He's lost in the Scottish Cup to Celtic. I think Motherwell last week was really damaging as well. But I think Andrew Kavanagh and the guys at Rangers have a bit of faith in Danny Rowe. I think they have, you know, given him the likes of Tuur Romans, Ryan Nadiri, guys like Chukwuani. I think they feel he can build something. But like Killian says, you are also reliant on results. It doesn't matter how long you've been there. So I think what Danny Rowe needs to do is take this further, take this title challenge further. And I do think if Rangers lose tomorrow and then obviously the Celtic game the following week, there's going to be questions asked, but I don't think his job is under jeopardy.
What needs to click tomorrow, Sean? Who needs to play for Rangers to get the result?
Well, that young boy, Mikey Moore, needs to start. I don't know why he never started him last week. He needs to start, and we just need to get a win, man. We can't afford to drop more points. If we lose tomorrow, I still think Hearts will win the league, right? I think Hearts have played better football. Rangers and Celtic, even if Rangers and Celtic go in and win the title this year, I hate to say it to a former Celtic player, but Rangers and Celtic have been absolutely dross this season. This is the worst football I've ever seen in my life. We're actually playing like junior football at sometimes, man. The football is dross.
All positivity from Sean. There, thank you.
I'm not offended either. They mentioned it to me. I'd agree.
Well, thank you to Sean. What about Kenny, who's a Hearts fan on the line? Kenny, how are you feeling about tomorrow and the title race in general?
Optimistic, mate. That's evening, guys.
Hi, Kenny.
Listen, let's be honest. Hearts have made Scottish football this season. Europe's talking about us. England's talking about us. And it's rattled a few cages to what's supposedly the big two. I mean, they're all on bumping their gums and moaning. And, you know what I mean? Just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Have you been able to enjoy the last few weeks? Will you be able to enjoy tomorrow? Do you go in with, you know, a bit of nerves at all? Or just based on what you've seen this season, do you go in full of belief and confidence?
Well, can I add, hopefully Alec Ferguson's okay, but, the last, I'm 62 years, I've been fully in Hearts. My mother carried me in there as a seven-week-old because she couldn't get a babysitter, October 1964. So I'm loving this season, mate, you know what I mean? And it's, my heart can't take much more, to be honest. It's been one of my favourite seasons so far. It's just the Tony Bloom, you know, the Hearts Foundation doing so well, and now we're actually challenging and putting in a wee bit of fight for the Scottish League. You know, the rest of Scotland not getting fed up and the same two winning everything every season for the last 20, 30, 40 seasons. It's a breath of fresh air for the Scottish League.
Yeah, I mean, people have, you know, you heard it for weeks and weeks, you've heard it for months this season, that people have said Hearts will fall away, this will never last. Hearts have four games left this season, are still top of the league, have some huge games coming up. There must be so much belief and confidence in that Hearts team based on what they've done this season, been top of the league since September, that they can continue that form and go on and lift the league title.
Yeah, and I think they'll probably reference back to kind of all season what people have been saying. That, look, people have been, fans, pundits, probably myself at one stage, was saying there eventually has to, it has to fall apart, it has to, they have to give it up. And now that they know that there's only four games left for them to do it, to get over the line, it is good for Scottish football as a whole, where it's brought probably more eyes onto the game as well, I think. Although I did see a fact today on, or a stat today, that Celtic have scored 40 goals less compared to last season. I do think that's a massive point of the position Hearts are in. But Hearts can only play the conditions that they're playing every week and the teams are playing. But it's, yeah, a great end to a season. I don't think anyone really would have envisioned a three-horse race at the beginning of the season. And the other thing it does, it gives clubs like Hibs, it's probably hard to say it, Aberdeen, given where they are now, but like clubs like that, that if they do maybe put in investment, get the right structures in place, you need one or two of the bigger teams to have off seasons, and then there is a chance to where you can actually go and challenge for a league.
Because even people saying, you know, the previous caller, Sean, saying, you know, he thinks Celtic and Rangers have both been terrible this season, that doesn't take anything away from Hearts' achievements, because the gap in budget is so big. Two things need to happen for a team outside of Celtic and Rangers to challenge for the league title. You need the Old Firm to be off it, and you need another team to be doing exceptionally well and punching above their weight at the same time.
Yeah, and two things can be right. I mean, you can, listen, we all know, I mean, Rangers started the season with Russell Martin and now on Danny Rowe. Celtic had Brendan Rodgers, Martin O'Neill, Wilfred Nancy, Martin O'Neill again. Look, there's been upheaval at both clubs, but Hearts could only run their own race, Andrew, and right now they're on course to break the 80-point barrier, which would be incredible, A, in the history of Scottish football, but also if you actually look at where Hearts came from last season. And yeah, Tony Bloom came in, Jamestown Analytics and everything, but Derek McInnes has taken players that played last year, made them better. He has made the most of the signings and the backing he's been given, and Hearts have put themselves in an unbelievable position. I was like Killian, I felt they would fall away at some point, and they haven't, and they're now in a situation where at the start of this weekend it was a 4-game season and they've got a 3-point advantage and they have every chance of winning this league.
Well, thank you to Kenny. 01419511025. Keep your calls coming.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel and Killian Sheridan here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025 is the number if you want to put your point to the panel, whether you want to reflect on today's result, Celtic with a 2-1 win over Hibs, some VAR controversy in that one. Maybe you want to talk about that huge one at Tynecastle tomorrow, Hearts against Rangers, which is a massive one in the title race. Maybe you want to reflect on yesterday's action as well. 0141 951 1025. Let's do that, shall we? Because as much as there has been a lot of focus on the title race and what is going on, yesterday was a massive day for Kilmarnock and St Mirren, wasn't it? Kilmarnock with a big win over Dundee United, St Mirren with that defeat to Dundee. What is that looking like for you with three games left? Kilmarnock now in the driving seat to finish outside of that relegation playoff spot. St Mirren looking trouble.
Yeah, very much so. I think Kilmarnock yesterday, okay, Dundee United have pretty much, you know, they have done what they had to do this season. You know, they're now sitting 43 points. They are in no danger. But Kelly still had to go and win the game, and they did it very impressively, Andrew. I'm starting to really fear for First St Mirren. I just think they've lost some key players. Ayunga, Shamal George obviously out as well. And we were speaking about it yesterday, you know, they did kind of really, you know, a lot of kind of inexperience in the bench too. And I do just wonder if they are destined for that playoff, Kelly. I'm not sure what you're thinking, but they look as if they're on a downwards trajectory.
Yeah, I think given the results this weekend, where Kilmarnock are going in, obviously, in better form and better mood than St Mirren will be for the game next weekend, which obviously is massive. And I think Kilmarnock, it's a better game because they know if they go and win, kind of, you'd almost think that's them safe. But I just think they're playing better football as well. It's one thing to, I know we're talking about at the other end of the table with Celtic playing football and winning, but Kilmarnock are since Neil McCann has come in, are playing a good brand of football. They look like they've structure and a style of play. And I feel like he has them believing that they can play themselves out of the position they're in.
It's incredible just what the split then throws up. St Mirren against Kilmarnock at the Smyzer Stadium next Saturday. As Killian said, is it a case of St Mirren, what is that, a must not lose for St Mirren? Do they have to win it?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously only 1 point in it just mm-hmm. now. So yeah, must not lose if we're going through the categories that we always pull out at a stage of the season. Yeah, I think that's fair to say, but it's a home game. You know, they'll have a big backing there. And speaking to a couple of St Mirren fans yesterday, I think they feel that that's a game they have to win after, you know, what follows it as well. So yeah, they've just put themselves, you know, there was a lot of kind of optimism, I think, when Craig McLeish first took over from Stephen Robinson, and through no fault of his own, in terms of losing some key players. And obviously I think the Celtic result was probably damaging for the confidence in the end, and losing so heavily as well in that semi-final. I just think they're in urgent need of some form of pick-me-up, and I think if they could get a win next week, that would be huge for them.
To add a bit of drama, there's potentially Stephen Robinson cements their place in 11th.
Aberdeen's their next game after that, isn't it?
Yeah.
When people a couple of weeks ago were saying that Aberdeen were the team that looked in the most trouble, and now not at all.
Yeah, no. I mean, Aberdeen have done their job. I mean, I think that's two wins and a draw, obviously, at Livingston on Friday night. Stephen Robinson even talking about that. You know, they're unbeaten in three. He's talking about a bit of momentum. Yeah, I think he has done his job. He's done the job, and it clearly was just get them away from any sign of a playoff. No, they'll be fine. I think Stephen Robinson will already be looking forward to next season.
Just look at the fashion of that Kilmarnock victory yesterday. You know, they had a lot of pace in there. They had that firepower, goals coming from different areas. The way that they won that game, can you see St Mirren, you know, going out and winning in that kind of style between now and the end of the season? I mean, ultimately, does it matter? It's just about winning the games rather than how you win it.
I think it's a tough one for St Mirren. Obviously, we've seen that they are trying to play a lot more football than what they previously did under Stephen Robinson. And I think Kilmarnock at the minute are doing us better. I think if it came to our style against yours, I think Kilmarnock would win us. They've had more time in that structure, playing with that style, playing under Neil McCann. And I just think then it becomes a case of, if you're a manager, you need to decide, well, do I want to... He obviously plays that way because he believes that that's the best way for him to win. But if you've players that have been brought in and have been trained for the last 2-3 seasons to play a certain way, that was successful for them. I think sometimes you just need to kind of park what you have been doing and just like, look, okay, I need to put that to bed and just go and win these games to keep them up.
So Steve Clark was at Rugby Park yesterday, an interested spectator, obviously a former Kilmarnock manager. Finlay Curtis on the radar as well, made it into the last Scotland squad, got himself a Scotland cap, didn't do himself any harm. Did he started at right back, then went into a more advanced position. Brilliant goal as well, the way that he managed to break through, steal the ball, and brilliant finish.
Yeah, he's just a player that makes things happen. Andrew, even at Rangers in the early kind of months of the season, and even last season, he always gets shots away, always causes some danger, a great finisher. And yeah, I think that's twice Steve Clark's watched him that we obviously know of in recent weeks. He's been the best player in the park, and he's put himself well in with a chance of basically making that Scotland World Cup squad. I still think there are others pushing as well. Down south, you look at some of the guys, Ross Stewart, Ollie McBurney.
Ollie McBurney's got a chance. I saw he finished. Did he get a couple of goals yesterday? Yeah. Helped Hull get into the playoffs. 17 championship goals. Has looked a mile off just getting into any Scotland squads of late. Do you think there's any chance of a late push for him?
I think there's more chance of Ross Stewart. I do. And I think he's maybe slightly more versatile as well. He can play off a side, which could come in really handy. But Finlay Curtis is in there as well. And Steve Clark, you know what he's like. He likes guys that who has worked with him before, who are good around the place, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I still think there's one or two places up for grabs. I do. I think you have to, before a tournament, take guys in form. Finlay Curtis is in form, but there's others down south are as well.
I think the fact that Finlay Curtis has played right back as well could strengthen his case a little bit, just for the injury concerns that they'll have over Patterson and Hickey.
Yeah.
That if it comes to a game where he's on the bench for as an attacking option, he kind of knows, okay, I've seen him play right back as well, that it's not a totally alien position to him.
0141 951 1025. About to go back to the phones, but let's hear from Neil McCann, shall we, after Kilmarnock's win yesterday.
Big moment for everybody concerned with Kilmarnock, because we've been stuck in that bottom two for such a long time. It feels nice, actually, that everybody can go and enjoy their weekend now. But there's nothing done yet. We've only managed to win another game. A good performance against a really good side. I went up and watched them last week, who got a comfortable victory over Dundee. But we were right at it today. The last 10 minutes, we came away from ourselves, which I've just reminded of them. Reminded the team that that's not what we're after. But to win a game of the size of it was today is so important for everybody. Aye, I heard Steve was coming along today, which is nice. Said to me, you only play when Steve turns up. good way to do it, I suppose. But I think today, as a team, we've shown what I'm always going on about. I think everybody thinks maybe I'm a wee bit bravado about me, and that I'm maybe, you know, trying to put a false face on. I completely believe it, what we're doing, and how they're showing up during the week, that we're more than capable of winning any game that we're going to. And today was evidence that we're a good side when we get things going. It was nice to be feeling a wee bit comfortable towards the end of a match for a change. Mm-hmm. But as I said, it's just a great weekend that everybody can go and enjoy themselves. The boys have worked really hard, they can go and enjoy themselves over that, and then we're straight into work on Monday and look forward to some game.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Chris is a Celtic fan up next. Chris, how are you?
Ah, not bad, lads. How are you? You okay?
Good,
okay,
thank you.
Good, Chris.
So, it's basically, first of all, it's the Celtic game today, and obviously that bit of controversy over the Joe Newell goal, which every sort of bit I've seen, it hits his arm clear as day. I don't know what angles VAR saw, but Celtic getting the win is obviously the most important thing, just to get over the line. But I wonder if you guys are similar to me. I think Motherwell is going to have a big bearing, because obviously Hearts play Motherwell next Saturday. We then have Motherwell on the Wednesday, and obviously they still get aspirations of their own of Europe. So, and obviously if Hibs and that are trying to close gaps and stuff like that, do you think Motherwell could have a bearing there?
I do. But I hope James Bertolascu isn't listening, because he doesn't like it when you say this. Chris, he's been put to him a few times that Motherwell could be the kingmakers, and he takes a bit of offence to it. He thinks that they are just there to decide their own fate. He doesn't want it to be seen as that. But I totally agree with you. I think Hearts going there next Saturday night is monumental. There'll be so much focus on Celtic Park the next day, but what a really tough game that is for Hearts. And likewise, Celtic going to Fir Park that midweek before the final day, you know, if Celtic are still in the title hunt, that is another really, really tough game. Motherwell at home have been outstanding. They've been outstanding against every team this season. And, yeah, apart from Falkirk, obviously. You can't beat Falkirk. But, yeah, look, I totally agree with you. I think Motherwell are going to have a major say in this title.
Yeah, it's just one win in seven for Motherwell, which is quite incredible for the season they've had. They've punched well above their weight. They've had so much praise for everything they've done this season. Jens Bertolascu will tell you, and you'll believe him, he doesn't care who wins the title. It's nothing to do with Motherwell. But they want to get back to winning ways. They want to have a strong end to the season, because you don't want the season to peter out when things have been so good.
No, definitely. I mean, I've never had a manager that comes in and says a game is meaningless. No matter if you're, especially at the end of the season, sometimes if you've got two games left or your last game of the season and your position can't change, you can't catch the team on top of you or below you. Every manager will come in and say, look, guys are here playing for different things. You've professional pride, everything. So I don't think there'll be any sort of let up from him, no matter what position they are on the table. I think you can see from the way he speaks, he seems very meticulous and demanding. And I don't think it's any surprise that they will have, and already have had, an impact on who's going to win the league, which kind of brings it to the how good a split it has been this season, where the standard of the top six teams, where you kind of feel like every team can affect who's going to win the league.
And Motherwell essentially just need to match Hibs' next result to secure Europe, because there's a 6-point gap there. Yeah. It would be 6 points with two games to spare, and there's about an 11 goal, there's a 9 goal advantage they've got. Yeah. So that's a huge thing for Motherwell, trying to make sure they secure that fourth place, not wanting that to go down to, you know, the penultimate game, the final game.
No, definitely. And obviously Hibs are at Falkirk next weekend. Motherwell obviously host Hearts. Yeah, look, I think they will get fourth place. I think it's all but secured just now. I just don't really see Hibs overtaking them now. But they'll have their own things to play for. They've got their own targets in terms of European football. They are very proud of their home record. They are very proud of the way they play. You've also got guys, and again, I'm not trying to sell half the Motherwell team, but you've got guys on the short window. There will be people watching them just now, and these are two televised games. They are some of the biggest games of the season. You can rest assured that these Motherwell players will be out to impress in those games.
Are Celtic going to win the title, Chris?
I hope so. I think, obviously, a lot of it depends on tomorrow's result at Tynecastle. To be honest, I think a draw would be ideal. I would actually, to be brutally honest, I would rather go into the final day knowing that just a win gets you the title. Do you know what I mean? I think we haven't been playing that well, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how well you play as long as you finish number one. And as I said, if Celtic don't win the title, it'll be basically we haven't won it over, we haven't lost it in one period of the season. Over the course of the season, we would be the second best team in the country. And that's just it.
There was a previous caller on, a Celtic fan, saying that he wants to see Rangers win 5-0 tomorrow. He thinks that helps Celtic's title aspirations. You're not in that camp then?
It doesn't really bother me. I mean, a draw would be ideal. I just think that if there's a draw tomorrow, then essentially 4-1-0 wins gets you a league and cup double. That's the best way to look at it for me.
It is incredible, just given the season that Celtic have had and everything that has gone wrong and the changes in managers, that Celtic could end the season with a double.
Yeah, they could. It's just funny listening to Chris in terms of 4-1-0 wins. I'll get you a double. I don't think this season has been that straightforward for any team. I doubt that will happen, but it is true. Yeah, look, it has been such a bizarre season. And at the end, I'm sure in years to come, the stories of the season will be told. And the whole Wilfred Nancy thing just seems, you know, ages ago, it seems a different season. But it wasn't. And Celtic have got themselves back into this under Martin O'Neill. And I think over the two spells, Martin O'Neill has done a fantastic job. But I think all the work has still got to be done from Celtic, certainly in the league anyway. You know, they've got Rangers in, they've got Motherwell in, they've got Hearts. It's the top four playing each other. And there's plenty of work for Celtic done to go over the line.
Thank you to Chris. So 01419511025. Final chance to get your calls in next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of today's Super Scoreboard Sunday, as you know it, because the final part of the show is going to be a special Albert Kidd, the heartbreak season. Hugh Keevans is going to take you through the madness of the final day from 40 years ago. Lots of interesting interviews, some of the archive audio from that season, 1986, some final day drama. Who knows, there may well be some final day drama this season. One of the callers earlier on was saying, or you were saying earlier on, David Friel, that this is the type of season that people will be speaking about for years to come. And 1986, the Albert Kidd final day, just proves that these seasons of madness just stick in the memory for people.
Yeah, they do. And that's what, that is the thing about it. It's just been fascinating from start to finish. There's been so many subplots, there's been so many major stories at the time that have now just almost kind of faded into the background. There's been so many twists, and I think there's going to be far more to come as well. You know, half past five, Bank Holiday Monday, Hearts against Rangers. Then you've got next Saturday night, Hearts against Motherwell. Then you've got the Old Firm game next Sunday. Yeah, it's been brilliant. And the great thing is there's still an awful few weekends to go.
Yeah, from 6 o'clock, Hugh Keevan speaking to players from Celtic, Hearts, Dundee, who were all involved in that day. And of course, Albert Kidd himself. So stick around for that at 6 o'clock. But continue to get your calls in before then. 01419511025 on the phones. We'll go to the lower leagues, shall we, just for a bit of discussion, because it was the final day yesterday of League One and League Two. We'll start local. East Kilbride winning the League Two title. Congratulations to all involved at East Kilbride, and a big achievement getting automatic promotion in their first season in the SPFL.
Yeah, massive. Congratulations to Mick and Sions and all the team. They've done it in a style of football as well that I think they stick by and they're passionate about, and I think they'll be delighted that it's they've been proven right that yeah, we can go and win things and be successful playing a brand of football. I know they said it, well, I remember Si saying it to me at the start, that their aim was to go again and get promoted. I was, when he said it, a little bit surprised, but again, they've backed up what they show and what they say. So yeah, fair play to them. Not easy to win leagues or titles at any level, so they fully deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not often that a team that come up are maybe automatically regarded as some people as the favourites, and they were probably quite bullish in their approach mm-hmm. going into League Two, but what comes with that is the pressure to go and get the job done.
Yeah, 100%, Andrew, and as Killian said, they've also done it in a brand of football that has really stood out. I mean, you just look at the goals for column, 36 games played, they've scored 77 goals across the season, and there was some ropey points in the season. You know, I heard Mick talking yesterday where, you know, I think there was a real heavy defeat to Spartans in there, and a lot of people at that stage wrote them off, but they bounced back so strongly, and Spartans are a good team. Again, they've got a lot of experienced guys. If you look at their squad too, it's not as if East Kilbride, obviously they've been ambitious, but it's not just an easy league to just run through. I mean, League 2 every week, it's so competitive, teams can beat each other. I think Clyde have done really well under Darren Young as well. So for East Kilbride to go and get the job done at the first time of asking, playing such free-flowing football and scoring so many goals, it's great to see, and I think they'll go and give League 1 a chance as well, or give that a shot.
I think it highlights also the problem of the whole structure in terms of clubs getting into the leagues. I kind of understand why the clubs who are already in the leagues and established make it hard for clubs like East Kilbride mm-hmm. to get in, because I think they see once they do get in, they have backing behind them, they have ambition, that they are a real threat to the teams that are established and have been there for years.
Big relief for Inverness getting back up to the Championship.
Yeah, and it's quite strange, a strange weekend for Highland football. You know, we saw Ross County go down on Friday night, and what a fall from grace it's been. You know, Premiership 12 months ago and they're now a League One side.
Because he went down fighting, literally, Ross County.
Yeah, after the event. But for Inverness to come back after all the troubles, and Andrew, I mean, you know, we've been up there a million times over the years, and they were a great club to deal with. And it was really sad to kind of see how it went in terms of financial troubles and all that sort of stuff, really, like Inverness. And to go and for Scott Kelleher to come in, his first job, and again, points deduction, all that sort of stuff, but to go and win that league, again, in a very attacking style with some young players, and then the kind of old-timer Billy Mackay still scoring goals at the age of 52. it was great to see. And look, credit to Scott for, I think it's his first managerial job. He's done a really good job up there as well. And yeah, it's good to see Inverness back in the Championship.
I'd like to say I had a part to play in them winning League One, because I was part of the team that got them relegated into League One.
So you're taking full credit for that.
Yeah. Claiming an assist.
Sticking with the Highlands, we mentioned Ross County back-to-back relegations. How tough is that going to be to take for, you know, Stuart Kettlewell, who came in I think December, Tony Docherty was in there, Don Cowie started the season in charge. It seems like such a long season for Ross County. Maybe at one point looked as if they were going to get out of it, but not to be.
It's been an unbelievable demise. I mean, you speak about, I think they started the season, obviously Don Cowie, then Tony Docherty come in, then Stuart Kettlewell, who Stuart just went up to try and rescue them. But Andrew, they've spent a fortune in players, you know, a huge budget. I think I'll need to look back, but they were probably my favourites to go back up to the Premiership at the first time of asking when you looked at the players who were signing. And there was actually players coming on that pitch on Friday night for Ross County that I'd forgotten they'd signed. You know, household names, guys that have played in the Premier League, or the Premiership, sorry. And yeah, it's been incredible to see, but you can't say, you know, they don't deserve to go down. They've been terrible all season. And Roy McGregor, a huge summer, what does he do? Do they stay full time? Does he throw money at it? He's put in so much money over the years. And yeah, they're in dire straits right now.
Yeah, just read through some of the names in that Ross County team. You know, David's talking about Premiership experience. Jordan White, Connor Randall, Declan Gallagher, Ross Docherty, Jamie Lindsay, Trevor Carson, Alex Iacoviti. They had Ronan Hale for, you know, the first part of the season as well. James Scott is in there, Gary Mackay-Steven, Nicky Clark was there for the first half of the season. So many players you can go through. And I think a lot of people, as David said, maybe saw that Premiership experience and thought, well, that's a team that should be able to bounce straight back up. And it's not only not happened, it's somehow gone completely in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I thought they were a shoo-in just to go straight back up. On paper, it's all at the start of the season. You look at every signing and you think, yeah, they're a great signing for them. They should cruise that league. Thought St Johnson would give them a fight, but I thought Ross County would just have... They would keep signing players to kind of... to get rid of that threat of St Johnson, sorry. And if I'm led to believe that, I don't think a lot of those players have any sort of clauses for relegation or anything. So I think there's a lot of decisions in terms of players leaving or staying on that it might cost more money to build a new squad as well.
0141 951 1025, if you've got any final thoughts. Shall we hear from the Hearts and Rangers managers Derek McInnes and Danny Rule ahead of tomorrow's big game? Let's start with Derek McInnes.
We've deliberately not spoke too much about the game. It's been a long week, obviously, Sunday to Monday. We'll start to make a bit more reference to it today with the players and speak a bit about the game itself. But, you know, I think it's getting the balance right. I think for my players, we've always been... the motivation in these types of games has always been pretty clear. You know, our record would suggest that. We always feel we have been the underdog in any of these games when we play Rangers and Celtic. But we've always been an underdog with kind of real belief in what we're doing. And the results we've had have kind of paid testament to that. So we just want it to be... We want Tynecastle to be in its full glory, to be honest. We want it to be even better than it's been. You know, to the supporters, bring your scarves, show your colours, give it loudy. Let's go and make it a proper night. And we'll be determined to get the right result. We see it as a fight that we can win. Win, lose or draw, we're still in the fight, but I'm just determined to try and make the most of the opportunity, particularly at Tynecastle.
And Danny Rule?
You will have a lot of 50-50 duels. What you have to win, you have to move the ball in good areas, you have to be very active, you have to ask for the ball. This is crucial. You have to be good organised. I think you have to be smart in the duels, because if you make stupid fouls in dangerous areas, then we give them the strength for set plays as well. On the other side, if we have our best day, then I think they have also a lot of challenges to control us, and I think this is the part as well. We need now, in the next four games, performance what is nearly and maybe sometimes over 100% to take the points. I think this is crucial now. You cannot just play 95% or just 45 minutes good football. You have to play it over the full time, and this is a big part.
Just looking at the final bit of team news, I know a lot of Rangers supporters were pleased that Tuur Romans is back in training. Would you imagine he starts if he is fit enough? Do you think it's too big to throw someone in?
No, I think he has to start. If he's 70% fit, I'd start him. I just think he gives Rangers so much presence, stature, running power down that left-hand side. Jaden McGoma really struggled against Motherwell last weekend. I think if Tuur Romans is anywhere near fit, he has to start. And I think if he doesn't, I wonder if he'll put Dujon Stirling over at left-back and put James Tavernier at right-back. He did that for the second half against Motherwell. But everything goes in the line for Rangers tomorrow. They have to go and win this game. Really do. I mean, a draw keeps him in it, I suppose, but Danny Rowe will be admitting privately that they have to go and win this game. I think he referred to it as a final, and 3 points is a must for Rangers.
We've seen Yusuf Tchermiti step up in the big games for Rangers, especially against Hearts. Is this a big time for him to show what he's made of tomorrow?
Yeah, massive for him. I think since his last, I think it was the last game against Hearts or else Celtic when he scored. I mean, like in a big game or an important goal.
He got two in the 4-2 win, didn't he, at Ibrox, and also scored at Tynecastle, that late goal.
And then I think since then he's been on a bit of a run where he hasn't had the goals that were probably masking his performances. So he is probably, through his season as, he's probably due to score a hat-trick tomorrow. That's why in the quiz earlier I just...
Yeah,
when I heard it, I just guessed him because it's kind of the only games that he does score in.
He's been a big game player, but I think the key thing for Rangers tomorrow is who does he play? Who does Danny Rule play around him? Because he tried Majovski, you know, and Nadiri's obviously not fit, I don't think, for tomorrow. So does he go with Majovski again? I don't think he'll do that. Mikey Moore has to start again. Falls into Roman's category. You need to just take a risk in these guys' fitness, and it's whether he plays another number 10 or someone like Gassama. But Rangers need to get that midfield area right as well, because you know a Derek McInnes Hearts team, they will be getting stuck in, and I think he'll put that I think that midfield area is going to be absolutely key tomorrow.
I think given that he said Romans was 70% yeah. fit, I think that means he'll play. If there was a doubt that he wasn't going to play, you'd say he's 50-50, or I think the fact he said 70% is an indication that he's fit enough to play.
And Hearts will be confident of their firepower. The PFA Player of the Year awards are tonight. Two of the four nominees for PFA Scotland Men's Player of the Year are Lauren Shankland and yeah. Claudio Braga. They'll feel confident that they can go out. They've been a partnership that has been extremely fruitful this season.
Yeah, they've been brilliant together, and I think Braga has, you know, really carried the load when Shankland was out. But Shankland, from start to finish, he obviously missed that period, has been such a talisman. They've got talent in the wings, you know, look at Kizaridis, guys like that as well. And tomorrow, 5:30, it's going to be fireworks at Tynecastle. Brilliant.
Final prediction from the two of you. How do you see that going, that game tomorrow?
I think Rangers will win.
I think there's going to be a lot of fouls, a lot of bookings and a lot of goals. I think it's going to be two each.
Interesting. Well, we will be on at the slightly earlier time of 5:00 tomorrow to bring you all the coverage of Hearts against Rangers at Tynecastle. We are done in terms of calls for this evening, but Super Scoreboard is not done at all, because for the next hour we are running a special Albert Kidd, the heartbreak season, because today marks 40 years since some final day drama, which could well happen this season. Some of the older listeners may well remember what happened in 1986 between Celtic and Hearts. Some of the younger listeners may not know anything at all. So just sit back and relax for the next hour, because Hugh Keevans is going to be joined by a bunch of guests to tell you exactly what happened on that day. Albert Kidd, the heartbreak season, is up next from 6:00.